Rejoice always, my brothers and sisters. Today we celebrate Laetare Sunday, which means rejoice. Joy is the true factor and a true sign of a Christian. My brothers and sisters, in a day and age when we have become more dependent on social media and technology, we have been taught by these platforms and apps and websites to only know how to react. React to certain emotions, react to certain parameters, react to certain sentiments that they have set for us. And we have become a reactive culture, a reactive society, and a reactive generation. It's so easy to have people who react when things don't go right. But much more than that, we're called to respond with joy. Joy that is based on Christ Jesus, joy that is based on the gospel, and joy that is based on the life of prayer, the life of worship, a life of discipleship, a life that is based on Christ instead of just ourselves and our reactive mindset. It's so easy to react, but it's so important nowadays that we step back and learn to respond to all things in Christ. The Pharisees were reactive because they were so closed down and so bogged down in their own perimeters and prayers that they couldn't rejoice when the poor man was healed by Christ Jesus. They couldn't rejoice for him because all they could do was trying to find something that was wrong, something that broken the rule, and something that was supposed to go according to their own human understandings. At times too, my brothers and sisters, that we have let ourselves be focused on the things that only become comprehensible with our own feeble mind, instead of seeing what the Lord had done in someone's life to brought them toward conversion, toward healing, toward a life of transformation, a life of grace. My brothers and sisters, God is able to work in many ways that are beyond our feeble understanding. And that's why the Lord Jesus today asked the blind man, at the end, do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man? That's what Jesus asked. Do you believe in the Son of Man? The Pharisees didn't believe. The scribes didn't believe. The leaders of the days didn't believe. But that man said, I do believe, Lord. And he worshiped him. Do you believe that Christ Jesus had the power to change your life, my life, each and everyone's life? And what do we do with this belief, my brothers and sisters? Do we change our life? Just like in the first reading, God didn't choose the one that was the oldest, the most appealing. He chose the youngest. He chose the youngest son of Jesse, the last one out of all of them, and anointed him. David, at a new king. God worked beyond our own feeble comprehension too, my brothers and sisters, because he sees the heart and our potential and all of our imperfection and all of our brokenness and all of our humanity. And he calls us because he wants to teach us a life that is based on grace so that we can rejoice in him, instead of just being stuck in our own feeble mind, my brothers and sisters. The Lord is my shepherd, that your shepherd, that our shepherd, and there is nothing we shall want. The joy is real, my brothers and sisters, as St. Paul has said, that we were once people living in darkness, but now we are living in the light of the Lord. Therefore, we're called to be joyful, to live as children of light. For light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Therefore, as people that rejoice in the Lord, we should try to do what is pleasing to Him. Not just to live in darkness, not to be held back by our own human standards, but to live in the light. To be joyful doesn't mean that we have to go around and be positive, be uplifting, be inspirational, be transformational on the outside. No, that's fake on us sometimes. To be joyful is to always know that God is with us, even when life gets challenging, my brothers and sisters. To be joyful to know who we belong to, who love us, where we're going, and to know that we have already found our joy in Christ Jesus. Joy is much more than euphoria. Euphoria will come and go because it's based on our emotion and sentiments. Joy is something deeper in knowing who we belong to, who love us, where we're going, our self-worth, our dignity, our mission, our purpose in Him. Do you know who you are, my brothers and sisters? Or are you allowing the things of this world to always make you and I become outraged, become reactive, so bogged down with one sentimental and emotional reaction after another? Rejoice always, St. Paul said, because once we were once in darkness, but now we are children of the light. Therefore, we need to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, to change our life so that His grace is not going in vain. Go back to what the Lord asked. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe, my brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, who hath given you, have given me life? Which leads me toward the second part of the Mass today, which I would like to share with you regarding prayer. Perhaps we don't know how to be joyful because we have not been prayerful. We perhaps call ourselves Catholics. We do the checklist stuff. We go to church, but we don't know how to pray. Or we don't know how to pray well. Sometimes we think prayer is yapping or saying the prayers that have been taught to us. Those are good things and effective at times. But we also need time to spend, to rest, and to receive from the Lord before we learn how to respond. If we don't have the time to acknowledge, to open ourselves to receive, then we will never have the time to respond. We will always react. Tertullian, in one of his writings, wrote a very beautiful piece on prayer, and I would like to quote him. Prayer was able to rescue from fire and beasts and hunger. How much greater then is the power of Christian prayer? No longer does prayer bring an angel to comfort to the heart of a fiery furnace, or close up the mouth of lion, or transport to the hungry food from the fields. No longer does it remove all sense of pains by the grace it wins for others, but it gives the armor of patience to those who suffer, who feel pain, who are distressed. It strengthens the power of grace so that faith may know what it is gaining from the Lord and understanding what it is suffering for the name of God. How beautiful it is that he said that prayer teaches how to be patient even when we're suffering, when we're under distress, when we feel pain, because it strengthens us by the power of grace, so that what we know who we are, and that the Lord is with us, and that he's stretching our heart, so that we can bear our suffering in the name of Christ. And he continued to say that the prayers that we have is only art it to call back the souls from the dead, from the very journey into death, to give strength to the weak, to heal the sick, to exercise the possessed, to open prison cells, to free the innocent from their chains. Prayer cleanses from sin, drives away temptation, stamps out persecution, comfort the faint-hearted, gives new strength to the courageous, bring travelers safely home, calms the waves, confounds robbers, feeds the poor, overrules the rich, lifts up the fallen, supports those who are fallen, and sustains those who stand firm. Prayer had the ability to do things beyond our imagination, because prayers help us open ourselves to God. Tertullian continued to say, all the angels praise, every creature praise, cattle and wild beasts pray and bend the knees, that they come from their barn and cage and look out to heaven and call out, lifting up their spirit in their own fashion. The birds too rise and lift themselves up to heaven. They open out their wings instead of hands in the form of cross and give voice to what seemed to be a prayer. Everything prays. Therefore, we as Christians need to praise. So he ends the treatise with this: what more need to be said on the duty of prayer? Even the Lord himself prayed. So to him be honor and power forever and ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus have taught us how to pray. We need to pray, my brothers and sisters, because without prayers, we have nothing to offer to this world. Without prayers, we will only give bitterness, resentment, anger, frustration, hatred, and all the reactionary matters. Without prayers, we have nothing to give. Without prayers, we don't have peace. Without prayers, we cannot rest, and without prayers, we cannot respond to the matters of this world and all its ups and downs with grace. Pray always, my brothers and sisters. The prayers help us to always be joyful in Christ Jesus, who have brought us out of darkness in order to be children of life. Pray always, rejoice always, be faithful to Christ always.